It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about maintaining your corporate records, keeping them up to date. Mm-hmm. Don't just have your corporation set up and set it on a shelf.
Right.
A lot of war stories we can tell you about that from our office that we've dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about just the general concept of the important issue of keeping up with your documentation, whether it be your will, your original will, again, corporate documentation, LLC documentation,
mm-hmm.
that general topic.
You know, it's not bad, Wes, to just sort of put a little fear in people right away, because those who may have incorporated or have an LLC, I know when you are representing somebody who may has an action against them, well, that's one of the first places you go, isn't it?
That's right. You know, the reason that you have a corporation or you have a limited liability company, that there's multiple reasons, tax reasons, liability reasons, but really it's to limit that liability so that, you know, in the event that you're operating a business,
mm-hmm.
or let's say you're in the business of, you know, renovating property and or renting property,
mm-hmm.
and you want that property to be held in the particular entity, so that in the event that someone is hurt in that property, or the property catches fire and someone is killed in that, and it's
mm-hmm.
potentially as a result of your failure to maintain the property, then
potentially.
Then we don't want to find ourselves in a position where we're individually liable for that,
mm-hmm.
That occurrence. We don't want to find ourselves where just because we failed to operate our business and walk, talk, and act like an LLC or a corporation, that all of our other assets, our savings, our vehicles, any stocks we may have, any other real property we may have,
mm-hmm.
is then subject to the taking because we just didn't keep our records in order.
Right.
And we didn't maintain. Because in the event that you don't maintain, in the event that you don't keep your records in order, in the event you don't walk, talk, and act like a corporation by not commingling funds, but
mm-hmm.
actually using the corporate funds for corporate purpose only, for example, then, you know, a good plaintiff's attorney in that type situation, they're going to bring a piercing of the corporate veil claim, and they're going to be able to get into your bank accounts. They're going to be able
mm-hmm.
to get into your corporate records to see if you maintain them properly. Did you have your annual meeting minutes and annual meetings that the North Carolina Corporation Business Act requires? And the courts will allow all that and require all that information to be produced. And
mm-hmm.
in the event that, you know, you just have that shell corporation that got set up years ago,
right.
and it's collecting dust in some corner, and that happens,
mm-hmm.
then you probably are not going to get the protection of that entity that you paid for up front,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that you have, and that you initially set up for some purpose, but maybe mm-hmm. you forgot what it was.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, a lot of people do have those. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So Ben, the question, for our listeners is pretty simple. Do you have a corporate entity? An LLC, a corporation? If you do, is it something in a file folder that you maybe can't even find? Is it some book that you got but you hadn't looked at in 7 or 8 years and you're not even quite sure where it happens to be?
Right.
I say these things because this is what Wes and I hear, you know, in the office, you know, really routinely. I am incorporated. I've got some file folder and my charter
mm-hmm.
or my initial papers are in that. Let me go home or let me go over to the office and see if I can find that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I have one of those corporate books, but I haven't really looked at it since we got it when we incorporated 10 years ago. I'm not real sure where it is, but I think maybe I can find it. Mm-hmm. It might be in the old lawyer's office, that I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure that lawyer is still, in business. Maybe he retired.
Right.
I mean, these are the typical, very classic. We're not making this up, Ben. This is what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we want to hear. Because as a corporation, as we've just stated, according to the statutes of North Carolina, a corporation is supposed to have annual stockholder meeting and an annual board of directors and elect officers. And so we do this, this time of year, which is maybe one of the reasons we're talking about this today, here at the end of September, because September, October, November for us are corporate update months at our office. And we are in the process of updating all of the corporations, that we take responsibility to do. And we have these minutes and we send them to the client. The client signs them. And then sends them back. We then put them in their corporate book.
Mm-hmm.
So our clients do know where their corporate book is, because they know that we are, keeping it, updated here at our office. And our clients also are aware that their formalities are being adhered to each and every year. Now, this is worth its weight in gold when the litigators of the world get going, because one of the first questions that the lawyer is going to say is, well, you know, tell me about your corporation and tell me about the details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a corporate bank account? Do you have corporate minutes? Did you maintain corporate minutes? And if the person is able to say, the officer of the corporation, well, absolutely. You know,
mm-hmm.
Our books were maintained by our lawyer each year. We paid a small, you know, $100, $200 fee each year to the lawyer to update this mm-hmm. book, for us. And it was done consistently. Then that, of course, is just going to absolutely close the door on this piercing of the corporate veil. And you want to be able to close that door, as Wes can explain, very, very early on in the litigation.
Right.
You want to be able to, get yourself out of any kind of litigation. If you've been named personally, you want to be able to get out of the case early on.
You know, that phrase, I think, is one of the most colorful phrases in legal ease, is piercing the corporate veil, because it really does picture what happens and the injury that can be sustained by that too. So that's it's so important. And it's not, the thing is, what you're talking about isn't rocket science. It's often done over a kitchen table.
That's exactly right. And you know, when we talk about, you know, preparing these meeting minutes for our clients, you know, this is evidence of what they're actually doing. I mean, we advise our clients with regard to actually having those mm-hmm. annual meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like Cecil said, a lot of times with the mom and pop corporations, you know, that's over the kitchen table, or that's maybe they sit down around Christmas, or that's, you know, one of these type things.
Family LLC.
You know. Right. But if you don't document it, then, you know, you really are required to keep meeting minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't document it, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you're either being audited, for example, mm-hmm. or you're being sued because of some liability relative to the corporation or the LLC, then you know you really can't at that point in time go just start throwing minutes together.
Right.
And let me tell you why. I mean, it might be 30, 60, 90 days before you actually have to produce the documents.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're deposition is taken, and you're asked, when were these minutes prepared? Because they're dated 2005, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, up to 16. When were they prepared? Well, are you going to lie under oath and say that they were prepared on the years that they were stated?
Exactly.
Are you going to tell the truth and mm-hmm. that they were just prepared? And that in and of itself, before a judge, is going to be pretty compelling evidence that you're not walking and talking and acting like a corporation or LLC.
Now, before you get to that point of litigation, this is one of the things you can clean up, right?
Absolutely. That's our point. You know, it's not difficult to do. It's just a matter of maintaining those records, you know, get the book off the shelf, make sure everything is up to date. If you don't know what to do, get with a good attorney who deals with these issues and get them to clean up your records with regard to that. Now, right. Let me mention, we did talk about corporations and LLCs. The requirements with regard to an LLC are lessened. Mm-hmm. They're not to the same extent as a corporation, but it is always a good practice to have annual meetings in the LLC as well and to maintain those meeting minutes as well. Although it's not specifically right. written in the statute that you have to, like it is in a corporation. But what's our point here? Mm-hmm. Our point is to deter liability personally to our shareholders. Mm-hmm. So we want to use these meeting minutes. We want to show we're going over and beyond what's necessary under the LLC, Limited Liability Company Act, to really act as a proper limited liability company. So we just want to be clear about
sure.
that.
Sure. And the Secretary of State's website has a lot of good information.
It has a lot of information, but just because you are shown as a viable corporation mm-hmm. or LLC on the website doesn't mean you've done everything that you have to do to avoid a Pearson claim mm-hmm. because there's nothing on the website about meeting minutes. There's nothing about have you maintained corporate formalities? All you have to do to maintain your position with the Secretary of State as far as being a viable, in good standing entity mm-hmm. is to send in an annual report. So one-page document that indicates, who the board members are, who the right. officers are. Are there any changes? Did the addresses
well,
– did the
address change?
That's not minutes.
Right.
So you've got to – got to really take care of both sides of that.
Okay. It is important that you update the information mm-hmm. with the Secretary right. of State, which would then be reflective on the website. That is an important thing to be done. Like, for instance, your physical address.
Right, right. That may change. And so we have that information. We have other things to do that are easy to maintain but hard to fix if you don't do it right. Let's talk about that, too, coming up in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harv Ellen Collins online at harvellencollins.com. Hey, welcome back here on a Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning with Harv Ellen Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time online at harvellencollins.com and 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. Cecil Harv Ellen and Wes Collins in the studio. And Wes, you were just talking about how this is really not a difficult thing to do to keep this up, but the downside of it could be very, very treacherous.
Could be very significant. What we've talked about thus far this morning is really just the process of maintaining your records mm-hmm. correctly so that you don't run into a piercing of the corporate veil situation. But also, it is so important. It is imperative to make sure that your corporate records, whether it's through an LLC or through a corporation, or even if you have a general partnership, mm-hmm. If the records, to have the records accurately reflect who truly owns the business.
Right.
I've recently dealt with a case that's resolved where basically there was a corporation set up years ago, mother and father were involved in it, and then it evolved into the daughter owning it with mm-hmm. her husband. Mm-hmm. And the corporate records were just kind of thrown on a shelf, and they weren't kept up. Now, this business evolved into something that was very valuable. Mm-hmm. Well, the daughter and her husband split up. Then we end up in an equitable distribution situation. And so we're talking about who owns this valuable corporation. Mm-hmm. Well, we look at the corporate records and we see, my goodness, although it's supposed to be 50-50 among the husband and the wife.
And their tax records reflect that.
Tax records did reflect that. It was supposed to be 50-50, but the corporate records showed mm-hmm. that it was almost entirely owned by the other side of the family, mm-hmm. the mother, father, and the daughter. So litigation ensued over that just because the parties did not maintain the corporate records.
And cha-ching, and the
cha-ching,
money.
Cha-ching. Yeah, it took a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money. Resolved, fine. My client, who was, the husband, he got his 50%. Mm-hmm. But if they had just maintained the records consistent mm-hmm. with what the true intent was,
right,
I would never have needed to be involved in that particular situation.
Right, right.
So it's really important that we all recognize that as we're involved in businesses, involved in partnerships, that record keeping is so important for it to be accurate as, you know, and consistent with reality.
And Cecil, this is part and parcel to why, with Harvell and Collins, you guys go the extra mile and keep these records and keep things in house. And that even brings us to the wills too, keeping them there.
Well, it is. I mean, we feel strongly, and Wes and I have felt this way. I felt it for a long, long time. Wes now has felt it also for a long, long time, that it's the duty of the law firm, mm-hmm. a duty of a good law firm to assist clients with maintaining the integrity of these original kinds of documents.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, it's just so very important, Ben. I mean, we have a vault system in our office where we maintain our clients' estate planning documents.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's very, very important that the documents be kept in a place where the family all know where they are,
mm-hmm.
where only the appropriate person in the family can get a hold of the document. Okay.
Right.
We don't want just anyone to be able to get a hold of our documents, possibly alter them, destroy them. Also, we don't want our elder client, at 98 years old to write on the document, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to alter it in some way, to mistake it to be a photostatic copy, to take it out and misplace it or mislay it. These are all just very typical, very understandable,
mm-hmm.
Human factors. But as a law firm, we want to hedge against these tragedies because they can have tragic circumstances. If you can't find an original will,
mm-hmm.
if an original will is altered in some way and the alteration that isn't clear, creates ambiguity, creates a lawsuit. The same is true with the corporate minute book. I mean, if it's in one place, everyone knows where it is. We maintain it. You know, it doesn't take long to do this. It's not expensive
mm-hmm.
for the client at all to have us maintain their corporate book or for any law firm to maintain a corporate book. It's not an expensive proposition. It's one of the most economical mm-hmm. bills that any
yeah.
business receives
right. Right.
on an annual basis based on the cost of insurance and any kind of other kinds of, you know, ongoing business expenses. So a couple of $100 and we keep these minutes up to date. We keep them in the book. In terms of other things, I mean, let's talk, you know, it's all of this is important. Buy-sell agreements between shareholders,
mm-hmm.
making sure that the properties are properly titled. We have so many folks who I have a file in my office right now where I know for a fact that that gentleman bought the property individually. And yet his intention is to transfer it to his corporation, to
right.
his LLC.
Right.
And that has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he is not really attending to that detail.
Meanwhile, he's on the hook
and
for
so,
that if there's
so
an issue.
I will do my best to contact him and say, hey, remember us? You mm-hmm. were supposed to come back into the office after you bought the property and transfer it into your corporate entity because the title you bought the property in your individual name because of some financing concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but these details are very important. And we encourage this morning all of our listeners to inventory, if you will, pause
right.
a moment
right.
and find your corporate documentation and see that it's in good order. If it isn't, then seek out a good lawyer to get it in order.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, once you get it in order, even though it maybe hasn't been in order for 7 years, let's say,
mm-hmm.
okay? But once we start in 2016, we're going to blink an eye and it's going to be 2020, and you're going to have been in good order for 4 years.
Right. Right.
That's the wonderful thing about the corporate documentation because the corporation has, you know, perpetuity. The same is true with your estate documents. Make sure you know where they are and make sure that they are kept in a proper place.
Okay, we'll talk about that too. More coming up in just a moment. If you have questions, you can reach us at 800-818-2255 or the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
And you can ask your questions to Cecil and Wes about your legal life right here on Let's Talk Legal. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are with us here today, as always, talking about your legal life. And Cecil, you were talking about those documents and keeping them in order and the will, et cetera, and all of that. I mean, what constitutes a safe place to keep those if they're accessible after someone passes?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Ben, we of course advise that our clients keep their documents within our vault system.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that for any number of reasons, which is that we then are in the loop mm-hmm. if ever there is a problem with the client.
Right.
For instance, the needing of the recording of a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
If there is some sort of sudden death, there is someone that the family can contact in order to ask a question or two,
mm-hmm.
to be told whether to turn right or turn left, where to stop, where to start. It certainly does not mean that they are forced to hire us in any way or to retain our law firm.
Mm-hmm.
We just are there as a road marker. We are there as a source to answer the initial questions. Where do you take the will? To the clerk of court. You know, where do you record the power of attorney? To the register of deeds. These initial, very fundamental mm-hmm. legal questions, which most people do not know the answer to.
They're not going to do them very often in
right.
their life. You know,
now,
so.
If you do not have them with your lawyer, then keep them in a strong box at home is mm-hmm. a suggestion, a fireproof box at home. They can be kept at a safety deposit box at any of our banks, and the lock boxes now are not locked
mm-hmm.
Upon death like they used to be years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is important that you have deputy on the box, a child, your designated executor, probably mm-hmm. your alternate, so that more than one person has a key to the mm-hmm. safety deposit box because of the fact that if not, then the bank has to drill the box, which of course can
right.
be expensive. So in a safe place is the answer. And then for them to be very clearly marked that they, if you're going to keep them at home in a safe, in a strong box or
mm-hmm.
at your safety and you're going to maintain them personally, then make sure they're in an envelope that's marked original.
Mm-hmm.
Do not mark. Do not discard. Do not obliterate in any way. Again, Ben, we're running out of time, but you know, our notary seals used to be so fancy.
Right.
It used to be the raised seal
yeah.
and some of them we even had, you know, you'll see documents
the
every
embossed,
now and then
yeah.
had a little embossing and a little ribbon on them.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be very, very fancified. Not anymore. These notary seals are, you know, black and white ink on
mm-hmm.
paper.
Mm-hmm.
And many times Wes and I sit there every day staring at a document and I'll go in his office.
Is that original?
You think this is original? And he'll come in my office. You think this is original?
Yeah.
You know, we're
color photos,
yeah.
blue ink. You
yeah.
can't tell sometimes.
You can't
right?
really tell. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult
mm-hmm.
to know the original. So anyway, mark it as an original and mark it not to be destroyed or written on.
Again, if you want to find out more, you want to contact the folks at Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law at 726-9050 and 1107 Bridges Street and online at harvellandcollins.com.